What we teach does not give you freedom, folks. It makes you aware of the freedom that you have. What we teach does not get you more redeemed at all. It teaches you about the redemption that you have.
Grace and faith were used on us, not by us.
The gospel of grace.
You are the thing that was in the mind of God.
The gospel of peace.
This plan was put together by God and Jesus before the creation of anything else.
That was Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution.
Welcome to the Gospel Revolution Powercast for Thursday, October 12, 2017. Broadcasting from the home of redemptionism, where we love every train of thought, visiting our station of freedom. We're coming to you from the Gospel Revolution Studios right here in Eva, Alabama, but right now from Palm Beach Gardens with more consistent, persistent, repetitive CPR of the Gospel is the president and founder of the Gospel Revolution, Michael Williams. Hello, Mike. How are you?
Hello, Donald Bartlett. I am doing wonderful. We finally have got rid of the rain. Oh my gosh, the rain. And we've got our fall Florida weather. Bright, sunny, brilliant skies, beautiful days, maybe 85. So down a few degrees, and it's just beautiful. How are things in I almost feel sorry for you. I tell you about South Florida, and then I have to say, how are things in Alabama?
Well, Hurricane, was it Kate or Nate or Hate?
Yeah, this one was a boy, yeah.
Yeah. Been nothing but problems since they started naming them after men, mate.
Exactly.
Nate just passed by, and we got a good old wrenching yesterday, and it's nice and overcast today, and it looks like it's going to stay that way for a few days. But, of course, I envy you.
Of course. That was the goal in moving here.
As usual, family, that's the weather every hour on the 8th.
What else does two old men talk about other than the weather?
Well, actually, if you want to know, mate, I was up in Nashville just recently, and I called in on the Nashville Homeless Boys Choir. And I haven't caught up with them for quite a while, and I asked them if they'd do us a jingle for the weather, and here it is. I think you're going to like it.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I used to get wet.
I get wet.
I used to sweat. I used to get caught outside in the rain and snow. But now I'm warm and dry. Please don't fall
away from the sky. Because I get my weather from the radio.
Okay, his intros are getting shorter and shorter, mate. Well, Mike, this week we heard from Paul Vigors. And Vigorous Paul said this. He said, "Hi, Don and Mike. You notice you put my name first, do you?"
Yeah, I know. I don't know what's happening around here.
Oh, well.
Some kind of anarchy or something.
Lay back and think of England, and we'll take care of you, Michael. Hi, Don and Mike. He says, Paul writes in Philippians 4, verse 13, that he can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. What does he mean by all things? I can think of many things we can't do. Thanks, Paul Vigors.
Well, you know, I saw this, and I thought, you know, I need to go read that, because I am sure that context will tell us.
Mm.
And I didn't go look. So here we are, caught with our proverbial pants down. And we need to go look and see what the context of this. 4:13.
Yes, the apostle has been caught with his pants down.
Let's see. All right, so let's back up just a few verses. And what is he saying in the chapter? All right, chapter 4 starts, "Therefore, my beloved dearly, my brethren dearly beloved and longed for, my joy, my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." I've never even noticed that first line being so dearly belovedly written. "And I entreat you," you know, if you don't entreat somebody, you've just done nothing whatsoever anyway. So
Got to entreat someone.
True yoke fellow. Help those women which labored with me in the gospel. Rejoice in the Lord always. There's a verse out of Philippians 4 that we all know. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And I used to read that and say, if you just stay joiced, you wouldn't have to rejoice.
Yeah, I say if you stay juiced.
Okay.
You can't help but rejoice.
So moderation, be known to all men. Be careful for nothing. Be thankful, verse 6. And the peace of God, which passes. I got some good stuff in here that we all know.
Mm-hmm.
Shall keep your hearts and minds. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things, this is very, we know this, everything's true and honest. Think about these things. Verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last hour care of me has flourished again. So Paul's getting old. He's calling it his last hour, and he's saying that care for him is now, people care for him again. Evidently, Paul went through a period of time when he at least perceived that nobody really cared anymore. You ever been there, Don?
Mate, I'm just about there now, actually.
Not that I speak in respect of want, so he's not talking about want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I'm in therewith to be content.
Well, I haven't found that. I'm in the state of Alabama right now, and frankly,
how could you be content?
I'm not in Florida. I'm not in Tennessee. I'm in Alabama.
I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. He's established that he's gone through some rough things here. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Well, that's what it means. You know, it's really weird how we pull these out of context so much. I can do all things. Man, I can lift mountains. I could lift a 18-wheeler. I can do all things. Well, the all things does have a parameter within which it is set. He can do all things that are normal things that people do, and he can do them whether or not he is hungry or full. He knows how to be abased and to abound everywhere in all things. So there's all things again, right?
Mm-hmm.
I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. So what can he do through Christ? He can all things, and all things being matched in both verses. What can he do? What all things can he do in Christ? He can abound and be abased everywhere and in all things. So it's not just in all things, but it's everywhere and all things if you bring the thought all the way through. The only thing Paul is saying here is that in all situations, he knows how to be abased and abound, and he can do all these things through Christ, which strengtheneth him. So, you know, a verse is not like mayonnaise. You can just spread it anywhere you want. You need to use it in context. Now, I was honest and told everybody at the start of this, I was derelict in my duties and did not go look at this. But I figured that because it's a statement that is used, that it's probably used out of context. So the thing we needed to do is look in context. So I want you to notice what we did. We simply went down, spot checked the chapter to see what it was about, and now we know exactly what all things are. Whatever he faces in life, whether it is good things or bad things, he can get through them all because he can do all of that through Christ who strengthens him, whether he is abounding or being abased. What do you say?
I say that if you can do all things through Christ which strengthens you, I'd like to see you try and open a can of beans with a banana.
Yeah, exactly.
But let Let's just read through until the rest. I'll read this through in the New Living. And so after that verse, he says, "But even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. As you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I brought you the good news and then traveled on from Macedonia. No other church did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. I don't say this because I want a gift from you. What I want is for you to receive a well-earned reward because of your kindness. At the moment, I have all I need, more than I need. In fact, I'm generously supplied with the gifts you sent with Epaphroditus. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable to God and pleases him." I think it pleased Paul as well. Yeah. "And the same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches." Blah, blah, blah. "May the grace of the Lord Jesus be with your spirit." This is the end of the letter.
Yeah.
So it's a throwaway line, a throwaway chapter. "Oh, by the way, I've been poor and I've been rich and I do prefer rich, but right now I'm doing pretty well and thank you for the care you gave me." Boom, boom.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just that simple. This is no theological treatise like an early chapter of Romans or even the first chapter of Philippians.
Yeah.
It's a mate talking to his other mate saying thanks.
Yeah, if we would be as focused on chapter 3 of Philippians,
mm-hmm.
it's loaded with very clear theological discourse about the testimony of Paul. That's his testimony, and chapter 4 is just the wrapping up of, now that I've given you my testimony, I want you to know that as difficult as it's been, I can do all of these things because I'm in Christ. I can be abased, I can abound, and it's all going to be, it'll all come out in the wash.
Pretty soon, coming out in the wash, we're going to take the early church and the history of the early church to a new level, and we're going to do it all from the Bible. But just check out, for example, Philippians 3, verse 2. You know, what we've discovered and what you taught on Mike in Calgary 1 year was two views of the good news.
Yeah.
But listen to these words in chapter 3 of and verse 2 of Philippians. "Watch out for those dogs." What am I reading from? The New Living. "Those wicked men and their evil deeds, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved."
Yeah.
Family, the New Testament church was clearly split from the top to the bottom. When we bring you more information, particularly about James and how he took over the church in Jerusalem and how the church in Jerusalem went from a joyful, happy, like children playing church for the first 5 chapters and then turned into a morose, mean, nasty. I mean, Peter, the guy who walked on water, goes back to Jerusalem and gets interrogated by the elders, not the apostles, the elders. And when Paul took his money that he just mentioned here from Macedonia to the starving church in Jerusalem, he gave it to the elders, not the apostles, the elders. So it didn't take long for the happy early church in Jerusalem to turn into the sect of the circumcision, it calls them.
Yes.
The Christian industrial complex.
Well, yeah, and Don, you know, I remember when I first started teaching on grace and the difference between law and grace more than 20 years ago, I had the audacity to read this, and when I had identified the book of Galatians and who was on the side of circumcision, which was Peter, James, and John, which is what the book of Galatians is about, it's who it is written about, and the subject it's written about is on circumcision, of course. And I asked people when Paul said, "Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision." Who fits in this description?
There is only one group, and that's the Church of Jerusalem.
Being headed up by Peter, James, and John. So do you think that there was any conflict between Peter, James, and John? When Paul refers to them and their doctrine as dogs and evil workers? You know, I think there was a little division there. You say, oh, Mike, that's really over the top. Well, how much over the top is it than him addressing Peter, who had been sent by James and John to say that he rebuked him to the face because they walked not uprightly according to truth? This is no stronger than that, just different words about the same people.
Thank you, Paul, for getting us started today. Appreciate that. And keep...
Boy, did Paul ever get us started.
And keep them coming, Paul, and thank you very much.
When you're feeling down, or you got the case of the blues. When you're feeling down, or you got the case of the blues. When you're feeling down, or you got the case of the blues. Why don't you listen to the Gospel Revolution?
Now, this week we also got an email from Doug Salonen. Haven't heard from Doug in a little while.
Yeah.
Mike and Don, I love that you used Karen Carpenter in your podcast. I can't wait to meet her.
Yeah.
As a man, it may not be kosher, but I'm a fan of hers. Don't know why it wouldn't be kosher. I love Karen Carpenter.
well, you're not kosher either is what that means.
Oh, it was, at least I don't have my pants down, mate. It was too bad that she crossed the veil in the shape she was. I think she was bulimic. I can't remember exactly. Or was that Mama? Or was that Mama Cass?
No, anorexic, bulimic, or Karen Carpenter, and her heart finally just stopped.
That's what happened.
Because,
yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. But can you imagine Jesus standing there welcoming her to himself? I can't wait for that. Doug Salonen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I enjoyed the music from Karen Carpenter. You know, there's a lot of gospel, as I've always said, a lot of gospel in the arts, a lot of gospel in every branch of the arts, whether it's theater or music or what it might be.
You know what I was going for in that podcast? Karen and her brother were actually my second go-to. My first go-to was the same song being sung by Ewan Glenn Klein at the close of one of his early webcasts. And I've gone to look at it, and I couldn't find it. I only heard it a week or two ago, and I thought, oh, I've got to play that in there. That'll startle the folks. But Karen Carpenter was one of my favorites.
Yeah, me too.
Doug, thank you, friend. Can't wait for it either, mate. Look, you know that something's changed inside you when you can't wait to die. And I can't wait. I can't wait to die.
I can wait.
You know, it's a figure of speech. I mean, I can wait. I don't want to disappear anytime quick. But there is a certain excitement that goes along with the expectation of what's next. At least for me, there is anyway.
Yeah, and it's more of a anticipation than what I had. I was trying to fit my mind around golden streets and hard, cold gold. And it's like, what in the world will gold have any value outside of this time-space thing, you know?
Uh-huh.
And so to me, it's more exciting now because I haven't a clue what it's going to be like. I know it's not going to be like that.
Now, also this week, we heard from Ray Allen. He says, good morning, Mr. Williams. I want you to notice this. He does put you first, but notice this. Good morning, Mr. Williams and Dr. Don.
Oh, wow. So I get top billing, but second rate degree, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Second.
It's happening.
Right. It is happening.
It's happening.
That power cast on faith just reminded me of how much I could have lived my life differently by accepting things around me and my family.
Mm.
As you mentioned, how much you had to teach this message on faith, and so many are still doing it today to all those people who choose to stay under it. Oh, yes. We did mention last week how we had taught others and were embarrassed to think that we'd taught others. This was from last week's podcast, Faith, Luck, and Hope. I've been freed from faith, the same as I am free from Christianity. My wife and I were challenged in our expectation for a child. The child was conceived, and we had a miscarriage when we were instructed by our pastor to believe and have faith that all will be done in our life with this pregnancy. And guys, we did believe and had faith even to the point of using Jesus' words back to him.
Yeah. And how much more faith can you use? That's what we were taught.
Yeah.
Use God's words back to him. That is the epitome of faith.
Yep. And his words were, if any two people believe touching anything on earth, we shall have it. And we still lost our pregnancy. That was an open eye for me from that point on. Yeah, particularly after the pastor had told you that. For us now, we just take every moment in our lives, whether challenging or not, as just another day.
Yeah.
We are free thanks to Mr. Williams and the Gospel Revolution for revealing the gospel. Thanks to Mr. Williams and the Gospel Revolution, we are free. The gospel has let us think for ourselves. Oh, right. Oh boy, Ray.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Happy day.
And let me tell you, this is happy day for me and for this family to come through such a tragedy. I think he goes on to say that he had went back to the pastor to ask why, and that the pastor told them that, well, maybe it was you had unforgiveness in your heart. Another one of those times I'm glad that the pastor was out of arm's reach. I don't know how I would react to some of these people saying such cruel, inhumane, harsh, degrading, uninformed, illogical things to people in the middle of their own tragedy.
But the pastor has always got to cover his butt.
Yep, he sure does. And
when a pastor prophesies like that, and it doesn't happen, well,
of course it's your fault, obviously. Folks, this is what we're reaching out to, is hurting Christianity. There is a world of hurting Christianity out there, and Christianity says they're reaching out to a hurting world, but they reach out to them to hurt them more, worse than they've ever been hurt before.
And ask to be paid for it.
And if you fail to get the answers to your prayers, then they'll turn it on you. It's never their fault. Why does it say to call the elders of the church and have them to pray and they shall be healed? Why not question the elders?
And do you know, just harking back to the earlier comments we had about Paul and James, do you notice that James doesn't say go to the apostles, because the apostles were at the church in Jerusalem?
Wow.
No, you got to go to the elders.
That's very interesting. I never realized that. I can tell you're learning a lot right now, Mr. Bartlett.
Oh, mate. Mate, the politics of bureaucracy only took just a few years to invade the church at Jerusalem and derail. Well, actually, it didn't derail Christianity. It invigorated Christianity.
Yes.
And derailed the gospel.
Exactly. And the fact that we know the difference between those two, I'm so honored to know the difference between Christianity and the gospel. Most people are as blind as a goose in a snowstorm as concerning the term gospel and Christianity. They think they're synonymous, and they are so far from synonymous. In fact, they actually have nothing to do with each other whatsoever.
Well, I'm just reading a book at the moment called The First Century of Christianity and the Two Ways.
Mm.
And this was somebody who wrote this book in 1989.
That's amazing.
I just I sent a copy of it to Sean Smith. It's just a little Word doc that came down. I copied and pasted it off the web. And it is eye-opening. Things that I have read for years, mate. Now, I know that... But you've taught on this, and I know that I've come to see the truth of what you've taught on this. But this book mentions verses and chapters that I, and possibilities I had never, ever considered in my life before. And do you know what? Luke wrote most of his, the book of Acts was about the problems in the church, not about how wonderful it was.
Yeah.
You get the impression that Luke wanted us to know that there was a big hullabaloo happening between the so-called apostles, that somehow he wanted us to know that.
So this book brings out the fact that there truly is and was two views of the good news. And what this does is take it as far back as we can. Now, I only took the two views of the good news out of the New Testament teachings and compared them both and proved there are two views. And now this historical account of this two views of the good news, and the title of it again is what, Don?
Yes, that book is called The Two Ways of the First Century Church.
That's amazing.
By David Anderson.
And that was written when?
1989. So
1989. And then just, what, 3 years ago, or maybe four, I did a teaching on two views of the good news. See, people have seen this, folks. We may not have known each other, read each other's material, but people around the planet have seen this. And we are trying to be a clearinghouse, if you will, for all of these people who have done so much wonderful work on helping people understand the truth of the gospel as opposed to Christianity.
And look, this guy is a Christian, and he's one of the people from within Christianity who's seen the problems and not really sure what to do about it except to publicize it.
Yeah, we can tell him what to do with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And where the sun doesn't shine, have something to do with it?
I would not deign to go there, no.
Deigning. We're deigning. We're deigning.
Deign and not deign.
Very, very Scandinavian.
I know.
And if you want a copy of this, just ask us. In fact, look, I'm halfway through this book. I spent all of yesterday. My Sunday was spent reading this book, and when I'm done, we'll have a chat between ourselves and decide whether or not we want to publicise it or to put it up on the website. But, you know, truth is truth wherever you find it. You can catch germs even in a hospital.
Yeah, sometimes especially in a hospital.
Yeah. But truth is truth wherever you find it.
Yeah, we're going to be going into this long before we go into it.
Gospel Revolution.
We heard also from Michael Andrew Foster. Michael Andrew Foster has been quiet for a couple of weeks, but here he's back again. He's been tending to his garden, I think. Hi, Beres. He says, hope this finds you doing well. I wanted to share something that I had in my notes, maybe to share on the podcast as a short discussion to expand on. Please correct any part of this if my thoughts have taken me off in the wrong direction. It's a beautiful autumn day here doing some yard work, and here's the weather again. And I had some questions from somebody in our study group, and I ran across this little ditty on the internet. Oh, he sent me a ditty.
Nothing like a little ditty when you need a little ditty.
There she was, just a walking down the street singing.
Do a diddy, diddy, dum, diddy, do.
Popping her fingers and shuffling her feet singing.
Do a diddy, diddy, dum, diddy, do.
It seems clear to me that New Covenant believers, evangelical believers, Reformed believers, believers in Christendom or Christianity are sorely misled, twisting and misapplying the gospel of grace. I came across a statement on a website the other day for New Covenant believers. After explaining that the New Covenant Christians are no longer bound by ceremonial law, they spoke regarding what grace involved and their duty to keep the commandments that proposed, and I quote, "Grace now enables us to walk in obedience."
Mm.
In other words, empowers us to now walk righteously and keep the law. What a misuse of the pure gospel of grace. Grace means literally something freely given, undeserved, unearned, and literally a free gift. Now, let me just in passing, because I don't know if we'll come back to visit this, but let me just say this. People like Andrew Womack, Joseph Prince, Jim Richards have come up with a rather nice little red herring. And the red herring goes like this. Grace is, of course, it's a free gift. It's a free gift that enables us to keep the law.
Yep.
Now, that's like saying the reason I drink milk is the number 9. I mean, it is so insensible, illogical, and stupid. It's even worse than that, because not only is it totally dislocated from logical thought, but It is the absolute opposite. I mean, you are so right, Michael. It is the absolute opposite of what grace really is. I'm going to continue here so that you don't get a chance to talk, Mike. I would have to seriously beg to differ with the author of this website. The gospel nowhere states that we are given freely what we could not earn, the gift of grace. I'll also back you up there, Michael, and say, and nowhere does the Bible say that we are given grace so that we can keep the law.
Yeah.
He says, as a result, we are now enabled to be righteous, no longer being sinners. You see, there's where the whole problem is. This is not about righteousness. This is about how you get righteousness. You don't get it by keeping the law.
Yeah.
Anyway, in fact, even John got it right when he said that if any man says he has no sin, and that would include present sins, and infractions of the law, sins, he is an absolute liar. That is exactly why the writer of Hebrews clearly states that now we have a high priest who ever and always lives to intercede for us. In other words, he has us covered, and that means past, present, and future. As Paul further explained, this doesn't mean that we'll all now go out and make hay all we want and indulge ourselves. Well, some do make more hay than others. Smile. On the flip side, though, we also don't establish our own righteousness by thinking that because of grace, we can now somehow more perfectly keep the law. This is a longish letter, but I thought it was just really well worth reading out, Mike.
Yeah, exactly.
This is pure performance religion and legalism, isn't it? The New Covenant is a contract agreement between Christ and God. Oh, what were we just talking about before the show, Mike?
Yeah.
Whether under the old covenant or new, as Jesus stated, if we even think a lustful thought, or for example have a thought of stealing, etc., we've broken the law. We are just as unrighteous in and of ourselves and fall short then and now. We do have free will and choice. I don't think I should get started on that one. But we need to be honest about the fact that we still sin and fall short, unlike many in Christendom today that are dishonest and try desperately to hide their wrongdoing or sins, some more grossly or worse than others, many of whom seem to get found out. And boy, doesn't the nightly news show how busy we can be at digging up dirt and finding someone out. Thank you, Michael. Well, no, thank you, Michael Foster.
Exactly. Well, you know, people are understanding the gospel, you know, with great clarity. The one of the fractal segments of the gospel is the issue of sin and the fact that there is no such thing as sin anymore. The writings in John saying, if any man says, let me give you a guess at who John was referring to. When he said, if any man says, I have no sin, he's a liar.
Well, that would surely that wouldn't be the person who said, where there's no law, there's no trespass, would it?
I think surely.
I wish you wouldn't call me Shirley.
You love it when I call you Shirley.
To you, I'm Miss Shirley. Don't forget it.
I will try to remember that. You and these names thing, goodness gracious, I don't know if I'll ever keep up.
it's just that I'm wearing this pink tutu today that's got my brain in a tiz, you know?
Well, me seeing you in it has got my brain in more than a tiz, that's for sure.
Oh, boy. Hey, family. Just fast forward right here, will you?
Yeah, please. You see, we've tried to balance these things out. You know, if a man says, yeah, in fact, if you read the context of what John says there, it's so nonsensical. I haven't read it in a long time, but I remember trying to read it through. And if you sin, and if you don't sin, and when you do sin, but if you do sin, you don't sin. And but if you do, then you got an advocate. But don't ever sin, because if you sin, you're not born of God. And it's like, what in the world is this buzzsaw?
Yeah, really.
He was trying to explain away Paul's teaching on sin, that it's gone. It's done away with.
In the early days, the Sanhedrin, which now had a majority of Sadducees rather than Pharisees, the Sanhedrin wanted to kill the disciples. It says that very early in Acts. But they couldn't because they were so popular. But sometime later, they were able to kill one. They were pretty happy with it. And I'm not talking about Stephen. I'm talking about James the Just, who was actually a real apostle, unlike the brother of the Lord, who was James the Jerk. But James the Jerk was nevertheless in charge of the church. Amazing the way this bureaucracy took place. And then, of course, you notice how Peter, we have two examples where Peter was fearful of James. James can't have been a very compassionate person. He mustn't have been a very kind boss, because James, who was never an apostle, never even a disciple, as far as we know, never even a convert to the Lord. But when Peter is down in Antioch, and the Jews come down from, or the elders come down from James and John, boy, did he scarper away from the Gentiles' salami table and fruit bowls. He went straight over to sit with the Jews at their table and pretend he'd never, ever, ever sat with the Gentiles. Gosh, I'm Peter. I'd never do that sort of. I'm Peter who saw a sheet let down out of heaven saying, don't call unclean that which I have cleansed, past tense. This Peter was so afraid of James that when he stood up in a subsequent meeting, he actually misrepresented what God had said. I don't doubt that fear rested on John as well. So what they did then was they started, and of course what we're talking about yep. are people who the Bible calls are zealous for the law. They were zealous for the law. They didn't just think the law was good, they were zealous for the law. So what else would they print, mate, except the sort of stuff that James, Peter, and John wrote?
Exactly. Only thing we've done is follow the pattern. We've followed the picture, and we read the picture. We see the picture. From there, all of these subjects, as individual as they are just a complete fractal repeat of the last subject.
Yes. Yes, that's excellent. Yeah.
You know, the subject of sin is an absolute fractal of the subject of righteousness, the fractal of faith. Is a fractal of sin and righteousness. The subject of hope is a fractal of sin and righteousness and hope. The subject of the end of the world is just another fractal of these subjects, and vice versa.
It doesn't really matter what subject you want to approach, but the gospel dovetails together so well in its fractal nature, Mike, that, gosh, it almost seems like someone planned it that way. As compared with a religion of ifs, ands, buts, and maybes, which is Christianity.
I'm thinking of hee-haw right now. Gloom, despair, and agony on me.
Deep down depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me.
I remember watching that when I was 13 years old. Oh, my gosh. Folks, please rejoice for the gospel. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice, or just stay joiced. One of the, either way,
yeah.
You know, just stay joiced.
You hear that, Yvonne Pichet? Stay juiced. Yvonne is a friend of the Gospel Revolution up in Canada who, I don't know if he leads or he's a part of an AA group up there, and it's really encouraging to see him encourage others.
That's wonderful. But yeah, this patchwork, it's not even a patchwork quilt. At least it's a patchwork quilt is sewn together methodically.
A patchwork quilt is at least four square.
Yeah, exactly. You know, at least it all fits within. This stuff is ragtag. Oh man, the words I want to say. I'm on the PowerCast. I can't say them.
Well, let me say it for you. Sydney is an interesting town, a lot like many towns here. Now, Sydney was, first it was serviced in freight and so forth by what's called bullock trains. There was maybe six or eight steers that were lined up, and then they would carry the wagon full of loaded up goods and produce. Well, if there was a tree in the track that was just too big to move, well, they just went around it. And some of you will remember the poem that I put to air some years ago, The Calf Path. We might even do it again soon. And what happened was when bitumen came along and motor cars came along, guess what they did? They didn't cut the tree down. No.
Yeah.
They followed the bullock trails. And that is exactly how Christianity has evolved.
Oh, it is just absolutely exhausting and so far from the gospel. I have these moments, and they are often, of just feeling so honored and privileged, not just to know these things, but to be a part of spreading them.
And it seems to me to be real wealth. I mean, what I've got in the bank is, that's just something I buy food with. But this is real wealth.
It is wealth. I'm telling you, I feel the wealth. There's been progression of peace and calm and resilience and all of these things in my life. There's been steps. Every bit that I have stepped away from Christianity, I wake up every day now with a clear mind and a clear heart, saying how grateful I am to be completely freed from personal faith. Yet I'm a man of faith. That's blowing my mind. Don, it affects me every day now. I was thinking, you know, our plunge into the deep away from Christianity was probably the biggest step we'd ever take. But now we're still on this pursuit that leads to nothing but more and more awareness of freedom. Let me tell you something. None of these subjects we teach on lead to more freedom. They lead to more awareness of the freedom that you have. What we teach does not give you freedom, folks. It makes you aware of the freedom that you have. What we teach does not get you more redeemed at all. It teaches you about the redemption that you have. It does not create oneness. It reveals to you that you are one and always have been. We don't create anything. Sometimes it just feels like we're just a farce because we don't offer anything to anybody. We are only informing. It's just good news. That's the only thing we pass on, the news. The news is about what has happened.
Well, I guess we are news readers because we do the weather every week.
We do the weather and the news. And man, I tell you what, the only thing we have is good news. We can't tell you anything about the future. We can't tell you how many past lives you've had. We don't want to know. We're just telling you about who you are. There is this all-encompassing centrality that is going on inside of me, Don. A wholeness, an awareness that I am complete, I am whole. There's nothing outside of me that I need or want. Everything I need and everything I want is inside. So, yeah, you're going to hear about it every show, so get used to it.
Well, let me see. Well, right now up on the website, we've got a couple of new things. One is all of the recent Calgary conference sessions, and they included speakers such as Nados Kabidi, Wade Brewer, Mike Williams. Mike was teaching not only on what happened from the foundations of the world, but also he taught on the book of James. So you're in for a treat.
Oh, and our pastor, Robert Orr, is on there also. So we had three former pastors that were pastoring churches when the gospel revolution happened upon them.
Go up and get them. Now, these are specially priced at 99 cents each, and that is not per session. That's five sessions for 99 cents. You want it? Go get you some. And another thing that we're doing is right now we've made available another five sessions from our Winter 2015 Canadian Conference. Now, this was Mike Williams teaching on two views of the good news, and we that's where we started to publicly explore the diametrical difference between the two Gospels one preached by Paul and the other by the other disciples. Go get it. You've got three sessions of Mike teaching that. You have two sessions of myself teaching on the fundamentals of redemptionism. Now, Mike, I got a very rude shock this week.
You didn't grab a hold of an electric cord again, did you?
I nearly did. I was mad as a cut snake, I tell you. And I rang Randy and I said, Randy, what the devil happened to my resurrection message? Turns out it never went up because the recording was of such a poor quality that we never put it up.
Uh-huh.
And that was one that I really did want up there. And this went up 2 years ago. I didn't even know it had never been put up. So I am redoing that. The resurrection message that I teach is, we do it every couple of years at Easter, and we'll do it again next year at Easter because it's been a year or two since we ever did it. But what I do is I teach on the just a pure logic, the forensic psychology that convinced me that the resurrection was a reality. But these five sessions from our winter 2015 Canadian conference, that was priced at $10 up till now, Michael.
Mm.
And right now we have them priced at zero, zilch, nothing. You can go straight in there and you can look for winter 2015 Canadian Calgary conference. Just go into the search bar, go 2015. It'll come straight up, and you can download them for nothing. Now, you go through the store to do it, and that's the way that we are going to continue to do it, but it's not going to ask you for a credit card. It's not going to ask you for a PayPal account. It ain't going to ask you for a brass razoo. It's just going to say, here you go, help yourself and download them.
Mm-hmm.
So that series was priced at $10 until about 4 days ago. We've got them down to zero. We'll be repricing all of our material eventually to 99 cents for the general public and free to all Gospel Revolution producers and executive producers. If you want to know how to become a producer or an executive producer, you'll have to wait till the next pledge drive, and we will tell you exactly how you can weasel your way into our loving kindness. So there you go.
Money. Even retail stores give people more respect than that. I don't understand why we become so commercialized with religion. What does this have to do with God?
Now, we got a comment on the website about, I think it was last week, the Faith, Luck and, yes, it was, Faith, Luck and Hope.
Yeah.
Of course, it came from Rob Crazy Keys. And if you want to make comments, either on our website or if you want to make comments by email, send it to freedom@gospelrevolution.com. And we don't care if you use an alias. We don't care if you use, you know, as long as you're sweet to us. You know, a few bucks you could send in the email with it would always help, of course. But just be sweet to us, be nice to us, and we'll answer anything that you want to bring up. So Rob Crazy Keys writes, "The cool thing is with Beres on board, it's even more entertaining." Did you see that, mate?
I know. You seem to be really gravitating toward the emails that really, really brag on you.
Well, no, it's just that Dr. Don is growing on folks.
Nobody brags on me anymore. It's all about you. You, you, you.
You've noticed.
I have noticed.
The most enjoyable source I know of. Although Mike was always funny. Yeah, I don't know if he means funny and humorous or some other way. But the Carpenter's song, "We've Only Just Begun," is another great selection. Might as well rate songs since our perfection is set and there's not much more one needs to mention. We are so fortunate to know what we know of the gospel. Just saying, the progressive thinking of today's youth is more open-minded. This growing mentally, like it or not, concludes we must accept everybody. Here the younger folks have teachers with easy, solid support of what is already in their hearts. It doesn't matter what you believe.
Man, this is so true.
I bet that in time the gospel teachings of the gospel revolution will grow to a high level of popularity. Antichrist Christianity displays a heaven loaded with bummed out, upset guys. God. Jesus. Old Testament Bible characters. They're all upset at most of humanity, according to their teachings. Who'd want to go where everyone is upset most of the time? That's the best that Christianity offers.
That's the best. It gets no better than that, folks. Yeah.
That's it. That's it, Rob Crazy Keys.
Yeah, Rob, thank you so much for your mail. We always enjoy these. You always have such a colorful and insightful way of putting things that most of us would pass over, and it really is fun. Thank you very much.
I think that he went to the school of Sean Smith somehow, but
don't give Sean any ideas now. He'll be starting a school next thing we know.
Oh, Lord preserve us. Oh, actually, college. A college. I told him he ought to be selling PhDs online.
Yeah.
Gospel Revolution.
Now, we've also got some movies coming up, Michael. Tell us about these movies.
The videos?
Yes, sir.
The videos were recorded, most of them in studio, one in backyard at Randy French's home and his studio there in Grand Haven, Michigan. So there are 18 of these, average 15 minutes long, and they are just really quite amazing, if I do say so myself. And I do say so myself. And there were things that I started teaching on in those 15-minute segments that just really blew me away. It's another one of those, I've never said this before, never thought it before. I'm not sure exactly where it's this connection and seeing this picture like this is coming from. But my God, this is good. So we've got those that are coming on their way, yes. And we've set a deadline to have them up by November the 1st. If we can do it before then, we will. But we're committed to no later than November the 1st.
They're going to be on the front page of the GospelRevolution.com website. And as soon as they're up, don't worry, we'll be telling you. And these are good. One series is called Perfection. Another series is called Predestination. And another series is called
The Faith of God.
The Faith of God. Thank God, God had faith. He had enough for him and me.
Yes.
So that's a little teaser for what's coming up. Now, in the Friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution, we got a bit of a shock this week, Michael. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to just revert to type here. And the patron saint of boneheads was in the news again. This time, Pat Robertson blamed the Las Vegas shooting on disrespect for President Trump and disrespect for the national anthem. Now, for those of you who may not be aware of it, just in the last couple of weeks, we had a mass shooting in Las Vegas where a gentleman allegedly poked a gun through a hotel window and shot multiple rounds into a concert?
Yes, it was a concert, open-air concert on the ground there with several thousand people in attendance.
And this guy just let off his rifles. So Pat Robertson has come to the conclusion that the reason that happened was not because we had a mentally unstable person or anything like that, but it was because of disrespect for President Trump and the national anthem.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when this happened, I remember you and I had a conversation that day, and I remember my comment to you that the first thing that's going to happen is to this to become a, you know, whose politics was this guy a part of, and that it would become political somehow. They can't find anything out about this guy. For having so many people investigating this, they kind of still know squat about motive or anything else. But, of course, Pat Robertson knows the motive. I don't even know what he's basing it on. There is no basis for it.
I think the Lord told him.
Yeah, well, of course, yes. Just like the Lord told him who was going to be president. And let's just say that, you know, Pat Robertson's wrong every time God talks to him. So, but don't blame that on God, folks.
This makes him 13 in a row times
Bonehead of the Day.
Now let's hear from the man who used to be a Christian.
I used to be a Christian, but Jesus set me free. I used to be a Christian, but Jesus set me free. I used to be a Christian, but Jesus set me free. I used to be a Christian, but Jesus set me free. Now Gospel Revolution is home sweet home to me.
Hello, this is Randy French coming to you from the Sound Laboratory located in Coast Guard City, USA, Grand Haven, Michigan, on the Lake Michigan shoreline. Today I'd like to share a very small sample out of my book, I Used to Be a Christian, But Jesus Set Me Free. Hebrews 11:40, this is the King James Version. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. Now, this is my Greek to English translation, which I would like to think is considerably more accurate than the King James. Please look up the original Greek for yourself. I have no desire to attempt to be another Joseph Smith in the rewriting of the Bible. I just want it to be more accurate according to the original Greek. Here's my version of Hebrews 11:40 from the original Greek. God, having provided some better man for us, that is Jesus, that would fulfill, finish, and complete the work of the law without man's help, and made all creation complete and accomplished for our finished perfection. Now that is some good news. Randy French.
I used to be a Christian, but Jesus set me free. Now Gospel Revolution is home sweet home to me.
So that brings us to News of the World. And in the News of the World, we had another interesting story. Let me just tell you a bit about the background of this person. This person has been awarded 4 Gold Medallion Book Awards from the Evangelical Christian Publishers Association for Excellence in Christian Publications.
Wow.
Yeah, no slouch.
Gold medallions.
Yeah, that's for the streets of gold.
Yeah, they'll have to melt those down later.
Mm-mm. She has an honorary doctorate of divinities from Horton College, an honorary doctor of humanities from King's College. An honorary doctorate of divinities from Eastern Baptist Theological Seminary, from Dallas Baptist University, which, as I understand it, is the headquarters of the Southern Baptist Convention or the Southern Baptist Theological Influence.
Mm-hmm. That's where Jesus went to school.
And I believe all they use is the King James, written by Paul in King James English.
Mm-hmm.
From that university, she has an honorary doctorate of humanities from Seoul Women's University, an honorary doctorate. They don't go for any particular doctorates there. They just lash them out, honorary doctorate. Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary awarded this person an honorary doctorate of divinity. That's 6 honorary doctorates, 4 gold medallion book awards from the Evangelical Christian Publishers Association, and she is daughter of the most recognized Protestant name after Martin Luther. Yes, we're talking about Anne Graham Lotz, daughter of Billy Graham. And here's what she said. The Huffington Post reported this last week. God sends terror attacks because of bathroom rights and evolution. Now, in case you're not aware, in some parts of the US, there have been laws passed to create transgender bathrooms.
Mm-hmm. Accommodate for transgender.
Yes. And the story goes on to say, terror attacks such as 9/11 and the mass shooting in San Bernardino were allowed by God because of the gay rights movement and the acceptance of evolution. She said, our nation seems to be shaking its fist in God's face and telling him to get out of our politics, get out of our schools, get out of our businesses, get out of our marketplace, get off the streets. It's just stunning to me, she said, the way we are basically abandoning God as a culture and as a nation. Would that be the same God that said slavery was okay? Would that be the same God that said, hey, come on in and just kill all your indigenous natives? Would that be that God? And don't tell me it was not done in the name of God.
Yeah.
Because I've seen the documents.
Exactly.
Go check out the doctrine of discovery and go check out the doctrine of just war. And the doctrine of just war goes back a lot longer than the wholesale murder of Australian Aboriginals, Maoris, and Native Americans.
Yeah.
She says, when that happens, God abandons us. And he backs away and takes his hand of favor, blessings, his hand of protection away from us and he abandons us, she said.
Goodness.
Now, this woman, have you seen her, mate, lately?
No, I try not to.
Mate, she's looking every year over 70 years old, and she's taken to using publicity photos 10 to 15 years old. It's pretty sad, actually. But goodness. I wanted to get your opinion on the faithlessness of God, because obviously God abandons us. He's not faithful, and he backs away and takes his hand. I mean, not only does he take his hand of favor away from this godly nation, quote unquote, I guess that's what she's meaning, but he must take his hand of protection away from people who are very faithful to him.
Well, this is always so disheartening to me, and her brother Franklin. It seems like they're in a competition as to who can be the stupidest Christians on earth. And coming from, even in light of his evangelical persuasions, most of his life, which changed over the last years of public ministry, according to an interview he did with Robert Schuller, Billy, the father of these two, with a great deal of respectability, did the evangelical thing and garnered a lot of respect for what he did, mostly because of the way he did it, and with a tremendous amount of graciousness, even though, you know, threats of hell aren't very gracious. But and then, of course, again, his conversion to what we would call a gospel revolution near the end of his life. But goodness, these two just seem to compete for idiocy. I don't know if they're taking notes from Pat Robertson or what, but I mean, they've all jumped into the same boat here. And always when there's a tragedy, these two have the exact answer as to why it happened, whether it's 9/11, whether it's they've got an answer for, you know, the Trojan horse. I'm sure they know exactly why that happened. It's, you know, Jack Van Impe is not as well known, but does the same thing and divines extracted answers from the Spirit as to why everything happens, and can rattle off 30 Bible verses incoherently unrelated to each other and make them all about one subject. But Anne, goodness gracious, sweetheart, please get a life. This is ridiculous. This is just ridiculous.
It's another
bonehead of the day.
But Mike, let's think about this. This woman said, when we abandon God, he abandons us. Is that the God you know?
Well, I think that we've got plenty to back up the fact that that just is not the case. There were threats like that in the Old Covenant, or in the Old Testament, I should say. But in fact, just the opposite to that, that it doesn't make any difference what you do. God will never abandon you. Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So what does she do with that?
Wow.
Is Jesus not God? Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you.
Mm.
And then the fact that it's just like these concert goers. How many of them would agree with her in, I'm sure there were some of them at least that were either killed or wounded, running over 500 in this horrible thing that happened, that would have been church-going people, and that would have agreed at least in part with Anne and Franklin on their doctrinal views. So is God so scatterbrained? You know, when we read about judgment in the Old Testament, we read about how precise God was. Precision hits, if you will. I mean precision as to who the targets were. And now I guess God's gotten quite a bit older since then, and you know he needs to stand back and spray bullets from a distance, and the guy couldn't get tracer bullets to see who he was shooting, so maybe God couldn't see either. You know, he just
that's it. I think he's moved from the rifle approach to the to the blunderbuss, to the shotgun approach.
This is ignorance of the gospel of peace. That's all there is to it. It is ignorance of the gospel of peace.
Well, this woman doesn't appear to say, she actually does say that, according to this report, it is stunning to me the way we are basically abandoning God as a culture. Well, let me just stop there. This happened on your watch. Remember, this was a Christian nation. Do you remember your daddy spoke in the Oval Office to every president over his long career?
Yeah.
Everyone asked Billy Graham to come in and maybe share his heart with them. Oh, it's either a Christian nation or it ain't. If we're abandoning God as a culture, you are, A, telling me that there was a time when we absolutely were a godly culture.
Yeah.
I don't actually recall when that would have been, but then I wasn't living here at the time. But then you said, and when that happens, God abandons us. If you abandon God, God abandons us. If we abandon God, God abandons us. And he backs away and takes his hand of favor.
Yes.
Blessings. His hand of protection away from us, and he abandons us. What, like he did in Pearl Harbor?
Mm-hmm.
You mean like that?
Yep.
You know, not only is this illogical, it's stupid, but I want to paint over and against this what the Bible says. Now, this is your Bible. I'm not sure about the New Testament, Miss Billy Graham's daughter.
Yeah.
But this is your Bible. You're the one who's going around preaching the Bible and making money out of it. Romans 3, verse 3 says this, "For what if some did not believe?" The word for believe is pisteo, faith. "For what if some did not faith? Will their unbelief," the word there is apistis, the Greek word meaning lack of belief. It doesn't mean the opposite of belief. It just means a lack of belief, the absence of belief, be better way to put it. "Will their unfaith make the faith of God without effect?" Paul answers his own rhetorical question. Of course not.
Yep.
"Or what if some did not faith? Will their unfaith make the faith of God without effect?" Of course not. But what I'm hearing you say, Miss Billy Graham's daughter, is that that's exactly what God does. If we abandon him, he'll abandon us.
Goodness gracious. Wow. Yeah. Evidently, she only knows the Old Testament, and there is no New Testament understanding in her thinking at all. I don't know. You know, there's a lot of Christianity, especially the Graham descendants, seem to think that the New Testament was a good way to refortify the Old Testament, to make it stronger, meaner, harsher, more judgmental. And of course, if you believe that God's grace was given to help you keep the law, then of course, on the other side of it, would if you don't keep the law, wouldn't it by just reason then be more harsh if you didn't keep the law now? Now that you got the grace to keep the law, why would the punishment or the consequences for not keeping the law be much worse under this one, as the chapter 6 of Hebrews is so totally misquoted and says, "And of how much sore punishment shall he be thought worthy?" So they really do believe that, Don. They believe that the New Testament is a source by which makes the Old Testament even more harsh.
Now, of course, Anne Graham Lotz, isn't that funny? You need to put your daddy's name in the middle of your name. You can't take your husband's name. You've got to put your daddy's name in there, Graham, just in case people don't know who you are. You know what?
Yeah.
I would be so ashamed, because that would bring shame to my father. Billy was a humble person. There's no denying that.
Yep. And these two have brought shame to their father.
Right now, let us just show you the difference between the father and the children. Here's Billy.
"Tell me, what do you think is the future of Christianity?"
"Well, Christianity and being a true believer, you know, I think there's the body of Christ, which comes from all the Christian groups around the world, or outside the Christian groups. I think everybody that loves Christ or knows Christ, whether they're conscious of it or not, they're members of the body of Christ. And I don't think that we're going to see a great sweeping revival that will turn the whole world to Christ at any time. I think Apostle James in the first council in Jerusalem, answered that when he said that God's purpose for this age is to call out a people for his name. Mm-hmm. And that's what God is doing today. Mm-hmm. He's calling people out of the world for his name, whether they come from the Muslim world or the Buddhist world or the Christian world or the non-believing world. They are members of the body of Christ because they've been called by God. They may not even know the name of Jesus, but they know in their heart that they need something that they don't have, and they turn to the only light that they have, and I think that they are saved and that they're going to be with us in heaven.
This is fantastic. I'm so thrilled to hear you say that. There is a wideness in God's mercy.
There is. There definitely is.
And here's Franklin.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
Here now is Reverend Franklin Graham.
And not only is a person condemned to hell, they are thrown into hell, Bill. That's how serious
this is.
Isn't
that a cruel action?
A cruel action. What's cruel is a person that rejects Almighty God.
What about people who don't know the Bible? See, some evangelicals say that you can't get to heaven unless you are born again through Jesus Christ. But there, throughout history, have been people who have never even heard of Jesus Christ.
And that has been an argument, Bill, from day one. Nobody will have an excuse when they stand before God.
Let me give you a really stark example. You know, there are millions killed in the Holocaust, Jewish people, who don't accept Jesus Christ as God. But they were good people. Good innocent people, children, massacred. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine that they're not in heaven. Right. The innocent people were killed without being revealed or didn't know about Jesus or didn't believe in him because of their parents or something else.
Not only is a person condemned to hell, they are thrown into hell, Bill.
Can't imagine that they're damned. I can't imagine.
Not only is a person condemned to hell, they are thrown into hell, Bill. Bill, I'm not the judge. God is the judge.
Right.
But when we stand before him, forget the children of the Holocaust. Forget the children of the Holocaust. Forget the children of the Holocaust. They are thrown into hell, Bill. That's how serious
this is.
Isn't
that a cruel action?
What's cruel is a person that rejects Almighty God. I'm not the judge.
Okay, back to Mrs. I can't keep my daddy's name out of my name. You're talking about God becoming faithless to those who faith in him. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, God becomes faithless. Yeah, where is that verse?
Well, this is as close as I could find. Let me see if I got it. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 11 through 13. Paul is teaching dialectically. Now, there are those who say that this was not written by Paul, that it's a forgery. But let's just say, for example, that it's real. Then what we're looking at here is a dialectic argument. In other words, we look at one side, we look at the other side, and then we come up with a synthesis. And this is a beautifully compact example of this. Here is Paul's thesis. This is a faithful saying, or this is a saying about faith. For if we died with him, we also live with him.
Mm-hmm.
Note that if we died with him is past tense. It's not present. If we died with him, we also live with him.
Mm-hmm.
That's his thesis. Here, that's his antithesis or his antithesis. Here is his thesis. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. He's now quoting Old Testament truth. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. That's his thesis.
Yes.
The antithesis is, this is a faith saying, or if we died with him, we shall also live with him. He now puts these together, and as he smacks them into each other, it becomes obvious that these two statements don't make any sense. So he comes up with this synthesis. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Now, do you see the word deny
that's
here?
That's so good. Yeah,
the word deny is twice. Okay, if we and in his thesis, it says if we deny him, he'll also deny us. Now, who do you remember who denied Christ? Who would be the poster boy? Who would be the pinup for denial of Christ? Of course, it'd be Peter. Not only did he deny Christ, but when he was denying Christ, he didn't mind cussing out a 13, 14-year-old girl.
Just to prove it.
Just to prove it, yes. So Jesus rises from the dead, and Peter, he'd given up. Peter says, I'm going fishing. That's what he said.
Yep.
So he disappeared, went fishing, and as he's fishing, he hears a voice from the shore. How's the fishing going, Peter? Peter says, I know that voice. What on earth is it? He can't see through the thick fog. He says, oh, pretty lousy. Can't catch anything yet. The voice comes out of the fog. Says, try casting your net on the other side of the boat, dummy. Suddenly, Peter, who had this experience once before, knows precisely and exactly whose voice he's listening to. Now, why did he decide to go fishing? Well, he knew he was never going to be a disciple. He knew that.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't an A-cyple. He wasn't even a D-cyple. or a B or a C. The guy was an F for fail. Because he denied Christ. And remember that Christ said, you deny me in front of man and I'll deny you in front of my Father. But if you acknowledge me in front of humanity, I will acknowledge you in front of my Father, which is in heaven. That was his exact words. So Peter is now gone back fishing. He can't catch anything. He hears the voice of Jesus, who is suddenly with... It must have been an amazing aha moment, who says, cast the net on the other side of the boat. And of course, he remembers the time when Jesus, in full view of all his disciples, says to the... to Peter and co, he says, hey, cast your net on the other side of the boat. And they got a load so big it busted out their nets.
Yep.
He does that, exactly what this disembodied voice through the fog says to him. And the same thing happens. He went fishing because he knew he was never going to make a real disciple, because didn't Jesus say, you deny me and I'll deny you in front of my Father? And yet, what is he doing here? What on earth is Jesus doing here? Did Jesus ever deny Peter in front of his Father, which was in heaven? Because Peter certainly denied him, and the answer is a resounding no. In other words, something changed at the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not hard to tell, because, see, I used to have the Easter egg hunts with my kids, and it's not hard to know where the fish are if you made the fish.
Yeah.
And you hit the fish. No big deal. So let me tell you what happened. So let us read 2 Timothy 2, 11 through 13, again with this in mind. This is a faith saying, Paul speaking. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he's alive, if he's raised from the dead, well, guess what? We live with him. Here's his original Old Testament thesis. And this is the one that Peter realized with tragic sickness, heart sickness, as he said, I'm just going back fishing. If we endure, we shall also reign with him.
Mm-hmm.
If we deny him, he will also deny us. And you want the synthesis. Here it is. His synthesis is this. If we are faithless, he remains faithful.
Yeah.
And why? Because he cannot deny himself. He might have wanted to deny you,
mm-hmm.
but now he can't deny himself. How can he when you're in him?
Well, that and the fact that the covenant was between he and God. It was between God and God. So how can God deny us when us aren't in the deniable crowd?
That's gorgeous.
I mean, that's what he's saying. So in other words, if there's a denial that's going to take place, he would have to deny himself. Just like the marriage laws, if there's going to be a marriage, it has to be decided by the father, not by the groom or the bride. And if there's going to be a divorce, the divorce is only going to happen from the husband. So if there's a divorce happening, then it's supposed to be only from the husband. There's only divorce laws for the husband. And therefore, since this covenant is between God and God, then a denial of anyone that is effective would have to be a denial of self. It's really profound. I really appreciate you bringing this out. You say that I taught this. I don't remember ever doing such a thing, but I sure do love it. That's for sure.
And remember, if you have any questions, feel free to record them on United States area code 234-564-0971. For outside of the USA, the number is your international dialing code, followed by 123-456-40971. If you're a registered Amazon user, then Amazon will donate to Mike Williams Ministries 0.5% of everything you buy from them. Nothing else will change, except now you'll be an active participant in the gospel revolution without spending one extra cent. Come on, that's pretty darn good.
It is indeed. I just ordered something from Amazon yesterday. And once again, I forgot to put in Amazon Smile. And the moment I put in Amazon, it popped up and said, do you want to switch to Amazon Smile? And I clicked yes and then continued with my ordering just exactly as I would have anyway. So even Amazon helps you to do this. So, yeah, let's do it, folks.
The reason we feel entirely free to say what we think on this show is because we don't have to answer to advertisers. And so we use a value-for-value model. If you have received value from our ministry, I'm asking you to consider donating towards our combined success. That would be yours and ours. This ministry has been an uninterrupted success story for over a quarter of a century because of one and only one reason, you and your donations. You see, it costs us time, cash, and energy to research, produce, and maintain this earliest grace-based web presence for more than 25 years with equipment, website costs, a searchable public database complete with 3,000 hours of free material, 24/7 radio, podcasts, free seminar recordings, free videos, social media groups, forums, newsletters, and that's just the beginning. We've got it all, and it's all just for you. www.gospelrevolution.com. And so it is that we must leave you, family. My takeaway from Christianity was, I am God and I love you so much that I created hell just in case you didn't love me back. Or to put it another way, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Jesus.
What do you want, Jesus?
I want to tell you what I'm going to do to you if you don't open the door. Yeah, look, if that sounds like pig slop to you, then you're going to love Phil Britton's book, The Greatest Gospel Truth. This is a simple yet powerful expose of how religion has thoroughly corrupted the gospel of grace and the gospel of peace, and how you can distinguish the truth from the lies. The book's free. Why miss out? Just go to www.greatestgospeltruth.com. Download it right now. If you'd like to partner with us and not just in money, call our office on 561-557-1329. Ask a question while you're there and make life for Michael hard and tell him he's got to write the question down so he doesn't forget to pass it on to us. Speak to us about how you want to participate or go to www.gospelrevolution and hit the connect link. Anything you can do to help the gospel can make all the difference for somebody else just like you starting their own journey towards thinking for themselves. So now it's good night from myself, Beres Bartlett, from the GR Studios right here in Eva, Alabama.
And it's good night from Michael Williams right here in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. We love you guys. Thank you so much for all that you do in participation. The questions and comments today were fantastic, and it caused this show to be absolutely wonderful. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed today's PowerCast, but if you didn't, remember, just because you're offended, don't mean you're right. So if you prefer learning how to think to being told what to think, join us again next week, same time, same channel, where we're going to do the same thing all over again.
Better.
My name is Jody Lease from Elmira, Ontario, Canada. I've been listening to you guys since January when I found Mike on the Homebrewed Christianity podcast. I saw the title of the episode called The Gospel According to Mike, and I thought, who does this guy think he is? Probably just another emergent guy with lots of over-the-top theology with no substance. Well, that was not the case. You had me when, Mike, you asked the question, was Jesus not better sacrifice than a bull or a goat? A bull lasted a year for a nation. Jesus should be better, right? You had me, and you wrecked me. I ordered your book right away, then I read it in 2 weeks, which is amazing because I'm not a reader. Then I passed it off to my father, all the while rereading Romans to see if what you are saying is possible. Well, I had always seen Romans as a judging book, Paul's hammer on us all. I don't see it like that anymore. I see grace. Thanks. Jesus is so much better now, and religion is so much worse. I used to call myself a Christian, and then I called myself a messianic Gentile just to mess with people, and now I call myself free. Thanks for the book. Thanks for the podcast. And thanks for the YouTube videos, Jeff. Thanks for wrecking me. Bye-bye.
Use only as directed. Absolutely no warranty expressed or implied. Contents under pressure. Use in a well-ventilated area. Do not use while operating a motor vehicle or heavy equipment. No user serviceable parts inside. One size fits all. Parental guidance suggested. Severe pain has sometimes been reported and in rare cases, death. Limited time offer. Call now to ensure your prayer blessing. This supersedes all previous notices. This information is subject to change without notice at all participating churches near you.
Your journey takes you